One of the cities that's really been in the headlines of late is Hamtramck. Governor Snyder has declared the 2.1 square mile city within Detroit is under financial emergency, and it could soon come under the control of yet another state-appointed emergency manager. But facing tough times is nothing new for Hamtramck. Starting from its beginning as a home for Polish immigrants, this city continues to be one of the most diverse communities in the state. We wanted to learn more about the unique history of Hamtramck, and so we turned to someone who was born in Hamtramck. Greg Kowalski is chairman of the Hamtramck Historical Commission. He joins us now. Greg, tell us about your family's history with Hamtramck, going back to your grandpa.
Yeah, I only knew one of my grandparents. The others had died before I was born, and I was very young. So my one grandfather I knew, and he came here from Poland when he was about 14 years old and came here alone and didn't speak English. So that shows you the kind of the guts and tenacity people had back then to do something like that. And he ended up, first in Pennsylvania and then coming up here for the auto industry, like so many others did at that period.
And what was it about Hamtramck that became a magnet for Polish immigrants? Was it just one family after another spread the word? How did it happen?
Well, it's a complex kind of situation, but it really can be traced to the Dodge Main Factory, which opened here in 1910. At that point, Hamtramck was a little village. It was 2 square miles. It's still 2 square miles, but it was 2 square miles, 3,500 people. And by 1920, it was 48,000 people in those 2 square miles. And almost all of them were Polish immigrants who came here to work at Dodge Main and 23 other factories that sprang up around the city, mainly to feed the Dodge Main factory. And it was a lot through family ties. You know, one family comes here and brings the others over, and the word spreads. And it just gets kind of like a snowball. It just rolls and gets bigger and bigger. And it certainly got bigger here.
And how did Hamtramck fare during the Great Depression?
Hamtramck fared terribly during the Great Depression. We were so closely tied to the auto industry that our unemployment rate was about 60%, and that's 60, not 16, but 60%. So it would put a tremendous strain on the city and on all the social organizations here and on the churches here, which tried to help fill that, to help fill the needs of the people as well, too.
And then moving through the 40s and the 50s, did the war help? The war effort help things out, hurt things? How did that play out?
Well, it helped in a way in that Dodge Main grew to be such a gigantic factory. It became one of the largest factories in the world, and during the war years employed about 45,000 people. So it was a huge operation, and financially it helped the city, but only to a certain extent. Hamtramck's population started to decline after 1930 when it hit 56,000 people. But keep in mind that mainly these were quite poor people who lived in the city and who moved to the city. And it was a struggle. I mean, we're in a current financial crisis, of course, that you're all aware of.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm looking right now in front of me. I picked this up from our files yesterday. This is a newspaper headline that says, "City is broke. 450 workers go payless." That's from the June 1st, 1945 issue of the Hamtramck Citizen newspaper.
Wow.
So we can trace our financial problems even further back to the Great Depression, and then they continued on after that as well.
1971 wasn't a good year, was it?
1971 was a terrible year. In fact, and even that was not the worst year in the city's history. In 1971, the city was very close to official bankruptcy. And in fact, it really was, did go bankrupt at that point, too. And the state stepped in and straightened the finances out to a degree. But that couldn't even really compare to the situation we were facing when Dodge Main closed in 1979 and we lost a quarter of our income tax base. So that had a really devastating potential effect on the city, and really that could have threatened the very existence of the city. And that was avoided when the Pole Town plant was proposed, though, about a year after Dodge Main closed.
And that was General Motors then, the Detroit Hamtramck Assembly Plant.
Exactly. They're producing the Chevy Volt right now.
So it made up the loss to a point, but there was a lot of controversy that Hamtramck had to endure with that Pole Town plant. Talk about that. A lot of emotions.
There was a lot of emotions, but frankly, it really wasn't Hamtramck that had to endure too much of that, because we really only lost a handful of homes to that project, and the empty Dodge Mean factory was cleared. The vast majority of the demolitions, and we're talking about 1,500 homes, two churches, a hospital where my mom worked, actually, and a variety of businesses were all demolished to make way for the plant, but that was all on the Detroit side of the border. Hamtramck lost very little and gained quite a bit from that. So there was a bit of controversy here as well, but it really was Detroit that took the brunt of that.
But even getting the Poultown plant up and running, the city still had trouble, and you had state-appointed right. emergency financial manager Lou Schimmel in there from 2000 to 2007, but that didn't last, did it?
No, you know, because the economy has, I hate to say it, but it's really conspired against us. You know, we all suffered from the great collapse of 2008, and we lost American Axle closed, and our economic base deteriorated. And we're still not a we're not a rich community by any means. So it's always a struggle for us. And we have, just like other cities do, a large pension obligation. And it's just a struggle. Costs keep going up, but our revenue keeps going down. And then the state does things like eliminate personal property taxes and cut state revenue sharing. So that puts more and more constraints upon us. But one thing we have to learn, have learned, and I really want to stress this, is that we've gone through so many of these crises going all the way back to the 1930s, because they were in the 1950s as well, by the way, and 40s and 50s and 60s, we had a whole series of these. We've learned that you can endure, that you can get past these things, and the vibrancy of the city is no less than it has ever been. It is really a strong, vibrant community. We're facing financial problems. We'll get past those financial problems.
Greg, for people who are listening to us in other parts of Michigan who have never been to Hamtramck, give us kind of a tour of the city, if you will. What would people find?
Certainly. And in fact, we, the Hamtramck Historical Commission, does do tours of the city. And we get quite a few of them, in fact. We get a lot of people coming from all across Michigan, from Ohio. I've got a group coming in from Cleveland later this year. And people love it. What do they see? Well, they see, we usually like to show them the St. Florian Church, which is one of the principal elements that really built Hamtramck along with Dodge Main. It was really a cornerstone of the community and remains so today. But we also take them to places like the Polish Art Center. There's a Polish meat market. There's a bakery that has been in operation for over 100 years now. You see the tight-knit nature of the neighborhoods there, because our homes are in 30-foot lots, and they hear the history of how that came about, and they get a sense of what really, you know, the vibrancy that's going on in the city.
But the city has moved from being such a densely Polish population to extremely diverse. Give us a sense of what other ethnicities and groups are making their home in Hamtramck these days.
Well, we are certainly one of the most diverse cities in the state of Michigan. We are about 20% Polish, about 20% Bangladeshi, about 20% African-American, and about 20% everything else you can think of. People from all over the world have come to Hamtramck, and it is truly a real mix of different people. Where I live in my particular street in Hamtramck, my one neighbor is Bosnian, and she doesn't speak English. We communicate with sign language. The neighbors on the other side are Bangladeshi. They have just moved in. I have Ukrainian neighbors, Polish neighbors, African-American neighbors, and everybody you can imagine living there now. In fact, one of our main streets has been honorarily named Bangladesh Avenue, because there's so many of the Bangladesh stories have opened there. And so you see this incredible mixture. And when we do the bus tours, I tell people, look at the people on the street. You're going to see people in burqas and turbans and babushkas and saris and everything imaginable. So you see all kinds of reflections of different cultures here, many different stores reflecting very many different nationalities.
Greg Kowalski, what can other communities in Michigan who are in perilous financial straits, what can they learn from Hamtramck?
Learn to draw on your own strength. That not everything is tied to the finances of a city. So much of it is really depends on the strength and character of the people in the city. If you refuse to let your city, you know, let it die, it will not die. We've got people, an enormous amount of volunteers. We're getting ready right now to open the Hamtramck Historical Museum, which we hope to have in operations by Labor Day. We're working on a building right now to do that, and that's going to be reflective of all the nationalities in Hamtramck. Now, does that sound to you like a dying city? It's the richness of the town that comes from the spirit of the people. So look into yourself and see what you can do for your own community, and you'll be surprised.
We've been speaking with the chairman of the Hamtramck Historical Commission, Greg Kowalski, and quite a spokesman for his hometown. Thanks so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you.